Gracious God, we ask that you open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to your word, that we might learn to be vessels of your reconciling love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, St. Paul's letter to Philemon is a wonderful letter, and it gives us a unique glimpse into Paul's thinking and his pastoral skills in leading the young Christian congregations of the first century. The letter to Philemon is the shortest book in the New Testament, and like the letter of Jude, which is also pretty short, it doesn't need to be divided up into chapters and is only marked by verses. And actually, this is the only time in the three-year lectionary where we read an entire book of the Bible in the service, and this is it. You can mark that on your bucket list. Now, Paul wrote this letter in prison, probably in Ephesus, which was an important coastal city in Asia Minor around the year, and he would have written it around the year 55 AD. The letter was a personal letter written to Philemon, who lived in Colossae, a smaller community about 100 miles inland from Ephesus. Philemon was a man of some means and had come to faith in Jesus Christ through Paul's preaching and teaching. Paul's letter to Philemon also includes a greeting to Philemon's wife, Apphia, whom Paul calls our sister, and to Philemon's son, Archippus, whom Paul calls our fellow soldier. Obviously, Philemon's family had all become Christian believers. In fact, the Christian community in Colossae worshipped and met together in Philemon's house. It was their Domus Ecclesiae, or house church. And so Paul's letter is not only addressed to Philemon and his family, but also to, and we see this in verse 2, the church that meets in your home. We can be fairly certain that this letter was brought to Philemon by Onesimus, whom we will hear a lot more about later, and Tychicus, along with the longer letter we call the letter to the Colossians, because we read in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, this is page 835 in your New Testament, if you're looking, Colossians 4, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. And so we read about this letter coming from Onesimus, so there must be two letters being brought to this church in Colossae. And he says, it's coming from Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. You see, Onesimus is also from Colossae. He is one of you. And the letter to Philemon is no less than a plea for Onesimus. In a society in which slavery was commonplace, Onesimus had been one of Philemon's slaves. Onesimus had run away and it appears had taken some money. This was a serious matter in the ancient world, and Onesimus could have faced serious punishment, even death, for this. Onesimus had fled to the nearest large city, which was Ephesus, where runaway slaves would often hide inside the underworld, which was so much a part of ancient cities. And somehow, either by Onesimus's plan, perhaps he had heard Paul preach, or by providence, Onesimus had found Paul. If he was not a follower of Christ already, Onesimus certainly became one soon after finding Paul. Onesimus and Paul became dear friends and brothers in the Lord. And Paul refers to Onesimus as brother several times in the letter. And in fact, Paul even calls Onesimus my son in one place. My son. Onesimus looked after Paul in prison, and they became very close. But Paul was in a delicate situation here. What the Roman law considered harboring runaways certainly could have serious consequences for Paul. But that doesn't appear to have bothered him. What troubled Paul was that he was faced with two estranged Christians. That's what worried Paul. That was something that Paul could not ignore. He was used to prison. That wasn't the problem. It was the fact that he had two estranged Christian men here. Because Paul understood the reconciling power of Jesus' work and death on the cross as being the template for true Christian living. In other words, it was essential, if the Christian community was to be faithful to Jesus, that we be both a reconciling and reconciled community. Paul had written in Colossians 1, verses 19 through 20, and remember, that's the letter that he wrote at the same time he wrote Philemon. He wrote, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," that's in Jesus, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Paul also specifically writes that in Christ, distinctions between slave and free are abolished, for we are all children of God by adoption, and thus we are all brothers and sisters. For example, in Colossians 3, verse 11, we read, "Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all." Or in Galatians 3, we read, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And so Paul writes to Philemon. First, he expresses his appreciation for him and acknowledges the many ways in which Philemon and his family have been a blessing to the Colossian church. This section in which he identifies with Philemon, it's verses 1 through 7, concludes with the words, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." But then Paul begins to write about Onesimus and identifies with him. He writes in verses 9 through 14. First, he starts off writing, he's writing to Philemon. He says, "I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you." Now, there's a pun here, because the name Onesimus means useful. So Paul's playing with this. He says, "Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful, both to you and me." Onesimus has become Onesimus. He says, "I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced." Now, in the ancient world, a wealthy man like Philemon would lose a lot of face by not punishing Onesimus. But that is what Paul asked Philemon to do. In verse 17, he writes, "So if you consider me a partner, welcome him, Onesimus, as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back." You can just sort of sense Paul's passion. He says, "I'm writing this with my own hand." Then Paul doesn't pull any punches, because he adds, "Not to mention that you owe me your very self." Paul asks Philemon to forgive Onesimus and receive him back, not only without punishment, but as a brother. And that's a powerful statement, because in the ancient Roman world, it was considered abhorrent to enslave your own brother. Thus we read these interesting words in verse 21, when Paul writes, "Confident in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask." Even more than I ask. It's clear here that Paul is asking that Onesimus be set free, or, and this would amount to the same thing, that he might be lent permanently to Paul as a helper and traveling companion. In this letter, Paul reaches out to these two men separated by their society, but he reaches out to them to bring them together in Christ. In Martin Luther's commentary on Philemon, Luther writes that here Paul takes on the role of Christ, quote, identifying with all parties so that he might bring peace. And like Jesus, Paul's way of changing the world is by planting a mustard seed. Paul teaches slave owners and slaves to treat each other and themselves as human beings. And in so doing begins a process that will ultimately bring about the worldwide abolition of any kind of legalized slavery. Now, of course, with the prevalence of human trafficking in this era, slavery, as horrible and repugnant as it is still sadly with us. But the key message of the letter to Philemon is this, that rather than only preaching the cross of Christ, Paul applies the cross of Christ through his actions in order to bring about the reconciliation of two brothers in Christ. This challenges us to apply the cross in our lives, not only by forgiving those who harm us, as important as that is, but by being agents of reconciliation for others, agents of reconciliation in our families, in our circle of friends, but especially, agents of reconciliation in the church among the followers of Jesus. And this is so true in this day and age where controversies and issues of all sorts bring disunity in the church. Those who attended last July's General Synod experienced some of that firsthand. In Paul's dealing with Philemon and Onesimus, we are given an example of a Christ-centered way of living and reconciling. As the great scholar Bishop N.T. Wright says, there will always be forces that try to tear the church apart, but there will always be the gospel itself to point the way of humility, forgiveness, and reconciliation, by which unity can not only be precariously preserved, but solidly established. Now you might well be wondering, how did the story of Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus end? Was there a happy ending? Well, we can be pretty sure, if not certain, that there was a happy ending. Why is that? Well, because we have Paul's letter to Philemon in the Bible. As Andrew said in his children's focus, this letter was carefully preserved. This letter brought joy to the Colossian church, especially to Philemon and Onesimus. And this letter was treasured and recopied until, with other treasured letters and gospels, it became part of the canon of Holy Scripture. We also have a tantalizing passage from a letter of St. Ignatius in his letter to the Ephesian church, written in the generation after the New Testament writings, sometime around AD 12 or AD 15. And there he mentions a bishop of Ephesus called Onesimus. A bishop Onesimus. Now, it was a fairly common name, but it may well be that Philemon's former slave became a bishop of the church. The timing would just be about right. But either way, the existence in the Bible of Paul's short but wonderful letter to Philemon is evidence enough that the reconciliation that Paul prayed for and wrote for actually took place. And in this letter, we are given a beautiful and inspiring example of how the cross of Jesus Christ is not only to be preached by us, but is to be lived by us. May it be so in every generation. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.